For the next 30 minutes, welcome to Old Testament Prophets with your host, Father Mitch Pacwa. In a moment, Father Pacwa.
The peace of God be with you all. My name is Father Mitchell Pacwa. I'm a Jesuit priest, and I teach Old Testament at Loyola University. And we're in the midst of a series on the prophets. And we've ended up seeing how Elijah, the prophet, had gone off to meet God, and how he was called to help change history. And we also see how Ahab had chosen instead of seeking God to seek sin and his own will and became very disobedient to God and as a result died. Now, to further see the contrast between Elijah and Ahab, we're going to go on with the story of Elijah and see what happens to him. So open up your Bibles to the second book of Kings, chapter 1. Now, after the death of Ahab, Moab rebelled against Israel. Also after the death of Ahab, his son became the next king, Ahaziah. And, by the way, Ahaziah means Yahweh is my strength. And this Ahaziah may have said that in his name that Yahweh was his strength, but he was kind of a clumsy oaf because the dummy fell down from the balcony in his upper room in Samaria. So he's on his balcony, falls off, and gets very sick. And so, he sent messengers and said, go and consult Baal-zebub. Now, the name really means Baal-zebub, that is, Prince Baal. But in Hebrew, they were having a little bit of fun with that name. And they call it Baal-zebub, that is, Baal, or Lord, of the flies. So he said, go and consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, and ask whether I shall recover from my illness. But the angel of Yahweh said to Elijah the Tishbite, get up, go and intercept the messengers of the king of Samaria. Say to them, is there no god in Israel that you have to go and consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Yahweh says this, the bed you have got into you will not get out of. You are certainly going to die. And Elijah set out. So here, this king follows in his father's steps, and even more, he follows after his mother, Jezebel. Keep in mind, Ahaziah's mother is Jezebel. And he goes and he consults the god of Jezebel, Baal-zebul, Prince Baal. And the Lord speaks to Elijah and says, look, I'm the true God of this country. You don't need to consult these other gods. You tell the king that, and because he consults someone besides me, he's going to die. Now, this brings to my own mind something that is a real common theme in our own culture. How many times do we hear people going to astrologers? How many times do we see in the newspaper? I think out of about 1,800 newspapers in this country, about 50 do not carry astrology. All right? That's about all. Only about 50. Because our people want to know the future. They want to know their own fortune. They want to know what they should do this day or that day. And so they go and they consult astrology. And they pay money for it and buy books on it. And they'll ask at parties, are you a Leo? Are you a Libra? Am I compatible with you because you're Scorpio? And so on. All this foolishness. And it's that kind of false consultation of false gods, the stars, that is forbidden us. We may not do such things. And we must not fall into the sin that Azariah fell into when he fell off the balcony. And so the messengers came to the king after they met Elijah. Because Elijah did what Yahweh told him to do. And the king said, why have you come back? And they answered, well, a man came to meet us and said, go back to the king and tell him Yahweh says this. Is there no God in Israel that you should go to the God of Ekron, Baal-Zebul? And so the king finds out, who is this guy? What's he wearing? And said, it was a man wearing a hair cloak and a leather loincloth. And he said, that's Elijah the Tishbite. I know his tailor anywhere. He's wearing camel's hair and a leather loincloth, a leather girdle. Nobody else has that tailor. As a matter of fact, keep in mind that John the Baptist has the same tailor, because he also has a cloak of camel hair and a leather loincloth, a leather belt. Well, the king is furious. He said, that Elijah gave trouble to my mom and dad. I'm going to give him trouble. So he sends 50 men after Elijah. And remember, Elijah had run away from Jezebel when she was pursuing him, and she wanted to kill him. And so now Ahaziah, her son, sends 50 men. And they come up to Elijah, whom they found sitting on the top of a hill. And the captain went up to him and said, man of God, Ish Elohim, the king says, come down. And Elijah answered the captain, if I am a man of God, let fire come down and destroy you. And sure enough, fire came down and destroyed him. So the king sent a captain and 50 more men. And once again it happens. Fire comes down and it consumes them. Now, keep in mind what I said earlier on in this series. The phrase, a man of God, especially is used with Elijah and Elisha. And it means a prophet who also does miracles. And we're going to see that quite a bit as we go on, because here we see Elijah doing a miracle, and he's called not just a prophet, but a man of God. And we're going to see this show up with Elisha quite a bit too. Well, back to our story. The third time the king sends a captain of 50 men, the captain fell on his knees and before Elijah and pleaded with him and said, man of God, let my life and the lives of these 50 servants of yours have some value in your eyes. So even though this captain and the 50 men have been sent by the king, and they're the servants of the king, now they say, look, Elijah, we want to be your servants. We don't want to mess. They have all been duly impressed by this. Now keep in mind this too. Fire coming down from heaven was one of the characteristics of Baal. Baal used to send fire and lightning down from heaven. But now, Elijah, the man of God, the man of the true God of Israel, sends this fire and lightning down, and now the people are impressed that once again, Yahweh is the true God. And this is, again, a kind of duel that we've seen Elijah fight with Baal before, that Elijah is the prophet of the true God. And so, the angel of Yahweh said to Elijah, go down with this man, do not be afraid of him. And he rose and accompanied the man down to the king and said, Yahweh says this, since you sent messengers to consult Baal-Zebub, the god of Ekron, the bed you've got into, you shall certainly not going to get out of. You're going to die. And so, in accordance with the word Elijah uttered, the king died, and he was replaced. Now we're going to come back in a minute to see what else happens with this Elijah. So please stay tuned. Welcome back. We're taking a look at Elijah, and we're going to see how the Lord deals with him for all of his fidelity to the Lord. If you open up to the second book of Kings, chapter 2, we see the end of Elijah and the beginning of Elisha's ministry. It starts off, this is what happened when Yahweh took up Elijah in the whirlwind. Now, Elijah and Elisha set out from Gilgal. Now, Gilgal is down in the Jordan Valley, right next door to Jericho. So they had to go up from Gilgal, and they went, and it says here that they went to Bethel. And Elijah said to Elisha, look, Elisha, stay back here in Gilgal. Yahweh is just sending me up to Bethel. But Elijah replied, "As Yahweh lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." And they went down to Bethel. So they went over to Bethel, up from the Jordan Valley. And the brotherhood of prophets, the sons of the prophets. Now the sons of the prophets were a group of prophets who were associated with Elijah and Elisha. That they had followers. And the relationship between the prophet and his followers was like a father to sons. That they were more in a family kind of relationship, and there was a family love. They weren't just teacher and students getting some knowledge, but it was more a family relationship between them. Such as we're to have in the church, a family relationship, a mutuality, mutual love between those who are prophetic and those who are learning, both those in the congregation. And so, he goes on, and the sons of the prophets who lived at Bethel came out to meet Elisha, and they said, "Do you know that Yahweh is going to carry your Lord and Master away today?" And Elisha said, "Yes, I know. Now shut up. Be quiet. I don't want to talk about it." So Elijah said to Elisha, "Now look, Elisha, stay here in Bethel. Yahweh is only sending me to Jericho." Now, in a sense, Elijah is kind of trying to ditch Elisha. Because here he goes up from Gilgal, which is just a mile or so from Jericho, and goes up to Bethel. Now he says, "I'm going back down to Jericho." So he goes all the way back down to Jericho. And so it's like he's trying to get rid of him. But why? Let's take a look and see. Well, the brotherhood of prophets, that is, the sons of the prophets, who lived at Jericho, went up to Elisha and said, "Do you know that Yahweh is going to carry your Lord and Master away today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Now shut up. I don't want to hear about it." The devotion and love that he has for his teacher, Elijah, is so great, he doesn't want to hear about his leaving, but he will follow him and stay close. And so, when they're at Jericho, which is real near the Jordan, just, you know, half a mile away, you can walk there easily, Elijah said, "Elisha, now just stay here in Jericho. Just stay here. And Yahweh is only sending me to the Jordan." But Elisha replied, "As Yahweh lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." And they went on together. That's part of this devotion that Elisha has for Elijah. He follows him like a puppy dog following his master, like a son following his father. Well, 50 of the brotherhood of prophets, 50 of the sons of prophets, followed them, halting some distance away as the two of them stood beside the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water. The water divided to the left and the right, and the two of them crossed over dry shod. A couple things going on here. First of all, this cloak is the same one that Elijah had taken and thrown over the head of Elisha when he called Elisha to be a prophet. Also, we see that Elijah uses this cloak the way that Moses had used his staff. And he takes this cloak and he touches the water. It has power of God in it. And so the water divides up. And it's just like when the people of Israel had crossed the Jordan, that they came over dry shod when they came into the land of Canaan. Now, with the same kind of power of God, because he's a man of God and a prophet like Moses, who had divided the Red Sea, we see that Elijah divides the waters of the Jordan River. And as a matter of fact, this still happens every so often. The last time was back in the 1920s, when the Jordan River got blocked up, and then water stopped flowing downstream. And so, both of them crossed over the Jordan. And when they crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Make your request. What can I do for you before I'm taken away?" So now they admit the business at hand. Elijah is going to leave. So Elisha said, "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit." And Elijah said, "Your request is a difficult one. If you see me while I'm being taken up from you, it shall be as you ask. If not, it will not be so." So Elisha doesn't just want to carry on and do the same ministry as Elijah, but Elisha wants twice as much of the spirit of Elijah. Now Elijah can't even give his own spirit, the spirit that's been given him. Yet alone, how can he give twice as much? Well, ultimately, Elisha is asking for Elijah to pray for him. And that when Elijah goes up to heaven, he's asking Elijah to intercede for Elisha. Because ultimately, only God can give one portion of the Spirit, yet alone twice as much portion of the Spirit. And so, he says that if you'll see me when I go up, then you know as a sign from God that you'll have this double portion. Now, as they walked on, talking as they went, a chariot of fire and horses of fire coming between the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in the whirlwind. So there's sort of this fire and there's this wind. And again, keep in mind some things we've said before, that Baal is the god of fire. And that's what the Canaanites had said. But what we see here with Elijah is that no, Baal is a nothing. He's a nobody. He's nothing. And he's not really the god of fire. Yahweh, the God of Israel, Yahweh, the God of Elijah, sends down this fire, this chariot of fire that is not to destroy Elijah. Like the fire had destroyed those two groups of 51 men back in chapter 1. But rather, this is a fire to take them up to heaven and to be with the Lord. And Elisha saw it and shouted, "My father, my father! Chariots of Israel and its horses." Then he lost sight of him. Taking hold of his clothes, he tore them in half. He picked up the cloak of Elijah where it had fallen and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. And so, we see here that he sees Elijah go up. And Elijah is assumed into heaven, body and soul. Just as we Catholics believe that our Blessed Lady, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was assumed into heaven. So is he taken up in this fiery chariot. And Elisha sees it, and he takes up this cloak. And he takes the cloak after he has seen his father, Elijah, go up. And he touches the water, and the water opens up again, just as it had done for Elijah. And Elisha goes back across the Jordan, dry shod. And that becomes a sign that he has the spirit of Elijah. Now we're going to see what happens to this Elisha in just a moment. So please stay tuned with us. Welcome back. We've just been talking about the assumption of the prophet Elijah, who was taken up in a chariot of fire to God, with horses of fire to take him up to God in the whirlwind. And we need to bring out how this really contrasts with Ahab and his son Ahaziah. Both Ahab and his son Ahaziah had been disobedient to the Lord. They broke his law. And the prophets told each one of them in their time that because you have been disobedient, you must die. And so they did. But, on the other hand, Elijah was obedient to the Lord. He listened to the Lord. He prayed. He entered into communion with God. And because of that, he did not die. But he was assumed into heaven, taken up to heaven, taken up to God without having to die. And also, we can keep in mind that because Elijah was taken up to heaven, this is the beginning of a long tradition that gets developed later in the prophets and even the New Testament. Because we see that in the prophet Malachi, it says that Elijah will come back and reconcile fathers to their children. And that they expect him to come at the end of the age. Also, we see that Jews, to this day, set a space at table for Elijah. Because they believe that Elijah will come back at the Passover. So they set a place for him to eat. And then, we also see in the New Testament that John the Baptist dresses like Elijah. We already alluded to this. Wearing camel's hair. And a leather belt, a leather loincloth. And that John the Baptist is even explicitly said by Jesus to be in the spirit of Elijah. If you can hear it, he is Elijah. And so this tradition gets developed and carried on more and more into the future. And we even see that when Jesus is transfigured on the top of Mount Tabor, that who is there standing next to him? Moses and Elijah. So he comes back even there to speak with Jesus on the top of the mountain when Jesus is transfigured. So Elijah continues to be a very important figure in the New Testament and even to this day among Jews. Well, let's go on to see what else happened in chapter 2 of second book of Kings. Elisha has the power of God. We already mentioned how he took the cloak and divided the Jordan River. And besides having divided the Jordan River, he goes on to do various miracles. Now, toward the end of the second chapter of 2 Kings, we see that he does a number of miracles. The first one, it says that the men of the city came up to him and said, "This city is very good, but the water is bad and causes death and miscarriage." And so, what the prophet Elijah does, it says, "Give me a new bowl." And other times we've seen the role of something new, because something new is going to be done by God. So use a new bowl for which nothing else has been used. And he puts salt in it. And the salt that he has is then poured into this spring, a spring which is still there and which I've drunk from. And the spring then stops bringing death and miscarriage. And as a matter of fact, Israeli archaeologists have found that after earthquakes or some other disturbance, that there'll be radiation from uranium deep in the geological layers that comes up and pollutes the water. And that this radiation actually still causes miscarriage among animals or human beings who drink the water. Every so often this will happen. And so perhaps what had gone on is that the water down in Jericho was affected by such radiation. But the miracle is that Elisha is able to take the salt and pour it into the water and make it good and pure. And you know, one of the things that we still do in our tradition as Catholics is that when we bless holy water, we take and mix salt in it to get rid of all influence of the evil one, all the influence of Satan, and to make the water good and pure for the use of holy objects and holy things, like blessing objects or blessing people or baptizing. Well, let's go on back to the next thing that happens with Elisha in his new career as a prophet. He goes up from Jericho to Bethel. Now, Jericho is down in the Jordan Valley, and then he goes up the rift and up the valley walls and over to the city of Bethel, where there were many other prophets. The sons of the prophets had a community there. And while he's on his way, some boys, 42 of them, say, "Hey, bald head! Hey, bald head!" They're mocking him, making fun of the guy, calling him bald head. Now that's odd, because in the Orient, men don't walk around, especially strangers, with their head uncovered. You die of sunstroke. So he would be wearing some sort of a kafiyah, or an Arab headdress kind of thing, to cover his head, a turban of some kind. But the boys call him bald head, even though they can't see that he's bald. And what's probably going on there is that they know he is one of the prophets. Again, they live in Bethel, and there are already lots of prophets there. And so the boys make fun of him because he's a prophet. And just like in that commercial where it says, "Don't make fun of Mother Nature," well, don't make fun of Yahweh's prophets. And so Elisha curses them in the name of Yahweh. And as soon as he does that, two she-bears come out of the woods and mauls them. Tears them apart. Well, that's not the best story that we ever had. It's not the most exemplary story that we've ever seen in the whole Bible. But the point is probably that it's a story told to little kids living in Bethel. Don't make fun of Yahweh's prophets. Have respect for people and things that are holy. And, you know, I don't recommend that we curse people in the name of the Lord in order to, you know, bring she-bears upon them so that they get respect. You know, there's that one comedian who has trouble getting respect. He can't get no respect. And right now, in our culture, God has the same trouble. But we don't have to go around cursing them. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I really believe is that instead of cursing things and cursing people who have no respect for God, you and I need to pray for them. Jesus takes the message of the prophet Elisha a whole quantum leap forward. And even though Elisha is the great miracle worker and his words come true, you know, that doesn't mean that we should emulate everything he does. We don't have to imitate him completely and go around cursing people. Instead, when people are our enemies and make fun of us because we serve God, you and I need to pray for them. We need to picture them kneeling down there before Jesus, kneeling down before the Blessed Sacrament, before God's tabernacle here on earth, and asking God to forgive them with streams of tears of repentance flowing down their cheeks. When we have enemies of God, pray for them. Bless them. Ask God to help them. That's the way that we have. That's the way of Jesus. And that goes far beyond the way of Elisha. So I would recommend not to curse anybody, but instead to really make sure that you bless them. That is our joy. That is our gift. That is our honor. Let us be prophets of blessing of God for all of the people of the world. God bless you.